Kings fans, it's time for game night.
And he scores! Wins it in overtime!
With a comprehensive look at this playoff battle, including a look at the Kings and their opponent.
Coming in off the right wing, took it to the net.
Interviews, analysis with notes, news, and scores from around the NHL. And your calls. Let us know what's on your mind. Call us now at 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20. It's game night with Jesse Cohen. And it starts now.
Kings fans, welcome back. I am Jesse Cohen coming to you live from the Nick Mixon Broadcast Center here in downtown L.A. And this is the Stanley Cup Playoffs. Tonight we're here at Crypto.com Arena for game number four of this first round matchup between the Edmonton Oilers and your L.A. Kings. Kings enter tonight's game with a 2-1 series lead and an opportunity to significantly increase the pressure on their opponent. Kings scored first and last in Game 3 here at Crypto.com Arena on Friday night. Can the Kings repeat that success and take a 3-1 lead in the series with a win here in Game 4? We'll find out in just over an hour. But for now, we're taking your questions and comments here at LA Kings Game Night, so call in at 877-KINGS-20. That's 877-KINGS-20. And I do want to know who you think has the most pressure on them tonight, L.A. or Edmonton, because this, well, it's not as pivotal as a Game 7, obviously, but this is an opportunity for one team to take a commanding lead in the series and another opportunity for the other team to reclaim home ice advantage and perhaps tilt the wheel of fate back in their favor. As we said, the Kings scored first and last in that last game. But before we take a look back at it, we're going to look around at the Kings news today. The Kings have signed goaltender Eric Portillo to a 2-year entry-level contract through the 2023-24 season worth an average annual value of $875,000. If you're wondering how it is that a player can sign a 2-year contract that only takes them through the end of next season, that is because it's an entry-level contract, and because he's 22 years old, he can sign it now, and it counts this season that we are presently in the middle of, or at the end of, I should say. That counts as the first season. In the NHL, the fiscal years, the contract years, go July 1st to July 1st. And when you sign an entry-level contract, if you are a certain age, it can activate in the middle of that season. Portillo, 22, was acquired by the Kings on March 1st, 2023, from the Buffalo Sabres, in exchange for a third-round pick in the 2023 NHL Draft. He completed his junior year at the University of Michigan, where he posted a 25-11-2 record with a goals against average of 3 and a save percentage of .908 in 38 NCAA games. He helped Michigan win a second consecutive Big Ten Conference Tournament Championship and a Frozen Four berth. His 25 wins were second most among Big Ten goaltenders and third among all NCAA netminders. Again, he was originally drafted by the Buffalo Sabres in the third round of the 2019 NHL Entry Draft. Other prospect news, the North Bay Battalion beat Brant Clark and the Barrie Colts last night to take a 3-2 lead in their series. Game 6 is tomorrow. If North Bay wins again, Brant Clark's season will be done. The Ontario Reign lost to the Colorado Eagles yet again in the playoffs, and so consequently today Tobias Bjornfoot and Cal Peterson were both recalled from Ontario. To make room for Cal Peterson, David Rennick was reassigned to the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Rennick had been acting as the third goaltender, the emergency goaltender for the Kings in the first three games of this series, but with Cal Peterson acting as a black ace from the Ontario Reign, David Rennick is assigned back to the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. There should be more players joining the Kings over the course of this week from Ontario, but for now, those are the only two that we have heard about. So let's go back to that game on Friday night. That wonderful, wonderful game. Kings win 3-2 in overtime, and for a change in the series, the Kings scored first.
Iafallo waiting for the puck to come free. They still pin it on the end. Dasher still waiting for the puck to come free. Deep in the end Edmonton zone it does, and now Iafallo on the left wing boards outside the circle. to Kopitar around to the right point. Roy, a shot, save, rebound, score! Alex Iafallo! Well, that lengthy board battle, the Kings won it. They were able to rim it around to the right point. Roy took the shot, the save, and the rebound, Alex Iafallo. And the Kings have a lead here in the first period with 32.5 left. Kings are up 1-0.
That was Nick Nixon's call of Alex Iafallo's improbable late-moment goal in the end of the first period of that game on Friday night. We had a chance to talk to Alex Iafallo because it didn't seem to me like that goal was quite intentional. I asked him when he knew the puck was going in the net when he took that shot.
Just kind of when I tipped it. I saw it go in the air. I didn't really get enough wood on it, but I just saw it going to the net, so I was just hoping it was going in.
There you have Alex Iafallo weighing in on his goal at the end of the first period. The Oilers would go ahead and take a 2-1 lead, but shortly after the second goal, the Kings on the power play, they struck back.
Kings moving left to right offensively. A lead pass played off the wall. Kempe scores! Victor Arvidsson at center ice, shot it in, went off the corner boards right in front to Kempe, who charged past everybody and shot it in one motion. And the Kings respond, a power play goal. Adrian Kempe, his third of the series, and the game is tied at 2.
That goal from Adrian Kempe is a play that we identified on All the Kings Men as the play of the game. After every game, we do a recap of the game, and we do a play of the game and player of the game. That was identified as the play of the game, not only because it tied the score, not only because it was a power play goal, but because it came so quickly after Edmonton took a lead. And Jim Fox weighed in on why it was important to the Kings.
Just tying it up is important. Just making it 2-2. But I think being a power play goal after an undisciplined penalty hurts even more. It hurts them because, you know what? Edmonton probably can bully the Kings, right? They're probably a little bit bigger. And maybe now, after three games, that element of their game might have to back off.
That was Jim Fox talking about the goal from Adrian Kempe. Adrian Kempe himself spoke to the media about the play from Victor Arvidsson to set up his goal.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a little while now. So it's hard to execute, but I think we didn't want to do it too early in the series. I kind of want to do a little more. Felt like we really needed it. And I think we were struggling a little bit in the beginning of the game in terms of breakout on the power play. So we thought we'd try it. And it worked out well. So that was a good thing.
Apologize for the audio quality there. Might not have been easy to hear. That was Adrian Kempe essentially saying that he and Arvidsson had talked about it previously. It is a set play that the Kings like to run. And while I was dubious, that fact was confirmed by Victor Arvidsson.
No, we talked about it a little bit right before, and I figured we'd try it, and it worked out, and he finished it off, so it was good. I don't know, I think they were pretty aggressive on the line. We had a hard time maybe entering sometimes, so we wanted to maybe try something different, and it worked out. And, like I said, he finished it off great, so...
We heard from Jim Fox, we heard from Adrian Kempe and Victor Arvidsson. Andrzej Kopitar weighed in on the importance of the goal as well.
The goal was huge. I think it was better that, even better that because, you know, in the first period we had a bunch of power plays and we couldn't really convert on it and couldn't really get anything going. So, we set that play up and obviously it worked out.
So with the score tied 2-2, the game went to overtime until Thousand Oaks native Trevor Moore scored to give the Kings the win.
Ekholm slaps it around the boards, knocked down by Byfield. Feeds Velarde at the right wing boards. Velarde down behind the net. Velarde centers in tight. Score! Trevor Moore wins it in overtime!
Of course, any Kings fan who was watching that game knows that the goal was ultimately put under review. But a few minutes after being under review, this announcement from the referee.
After video review, the call on the ice stands. If you want suspense, you just got it.
That was the announcement from the referee that the Kings had won the game. The crowd went crazy. Zach Dooley and I were at the event level after watching the game in the press box. And we got a lot of feedback from a lot of members of the organization about their experience with it. Todd McClellan spoke about waiting to find out whether or not his team had won the game.
Score, get excited, head off, get to the coach's room. No players are following. That's odd. You know, wait for a few more minutes, no players. And then our video coach goes to reviewing something. Okay, so we go back out and then we try and figure out what the review was all about. I didn't see the potential high stick live. I didn't. So I had no idea that that might be coming.
Todd McClellan continued about his experience and the review on the overtime goal from Trevor Moore.
You're always prepared for the thing about that situation last night is as soon as it happens and they put those headsets on, it's over. It takes all 40 players and 10 coaches out of it. It's done. The event has happened. It goes to the war room, and there's a number of individuals in there that look at angles sometimes we don't even have, and they decide. So once the headsets go on, you just stand back and wait for the results, and you're either happy or you're unhappy.
Your video coaches telling you what they see?
They always look for situations. In fact, while that was going on, again, it's out of our control. Byfield had a one-timer that we weren't sure maybe the goaltender had caught the puck inside the corner of the net. We were looking at that as much as we were. Like, again, it's out of our hands. We can look at it a million times and have our opinion. It doesn't matter. So we were looking at something different also.
The real question is, did the puck touch Gabriel Vilardi's stick? The ultimate review or ruling was that it was inconclusive. Gabriel Vilardi was asked if he even knew why the play was under review.
No, I had no idea. And then I asked the linesman there, and he said, yeah, they were reviewing a high stick. I said, well, how can you review the highest stick? I mean, it happened 10 seconds before the goal, and then they explained that, yeah, it's a goal, so they review everything that leads up. And so, yeah, but I wasn't aware at the start.
So he didn't know why it was under review, but did Gabriel Vilardi know whether or not the puck even touched his stick?
I don't know. I mean, I watched it. I don't think it did. To be honest with you, I don't really, things happen fast, so, but, depends who you ask. I mean, there's winners and losers, so, I mean, everyone's going to complain. That's how it is. It's life.
Were you reaching for the puck?
No, I didn't even see I mean, to be honest with you, I don't remember that part of, the play exactly leading up. The puck went up, and then my stick was up there, obviously, and then it just hit Ekholm in the back, and I don't know if I touched it. Things happen fast, like I said, and go from there. The game's over. So,
Gabriel Vilardi may not know if his stick touched the puck. I know that it did not. So if any Oilers fans are complaining to you, you let him know that I told you it was not touched by the puck. Drew Doughty also experienced confusion over the review.
I was standing over by the refs, and I was just, I was praying. I was doing everything I could to I was jittery. I was just, I did not want that called back. That was a hell of a game. That was a battle by both teams. I don't think we need another period.
Andrzej Kopitar also expressed confusion about the review.
I had no clue what they were checking for. So obviously I saw the goal, and that was certainly not played with the high stick. So I didn't know. And I guess in my mind, that usually the longer it takes, it's inconclusive, and the call on the ice was a goal, so I mean I was still hoping for a goal. Yes,
there you have it. End result: Kings get a goal, Kings get a win. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll take a look at the lineup, we'll talk about morning skate, we'll hear more from the players and coaches. This is LA Kings Game Night. I'm Jesse Cohen. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
New vehicle vehicles are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit Toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
The LA Kings play here.
Score! Arvidsson!
Bally Sports West.
Patrick Gould!
And now, you have more wings to watch than ever. With your service provider.
To win it! Yes! Score!
Or with the all-new Bally Sports Plus, available on the Bally Sports app.
Oh, what a setup!
Bally Sports West. Your home for LA Kings hockey.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics, Adidas, and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
You. Y-O-U. Three little letters to make a very small word.
That means so many things, because no you is ever one single thing.
You.
If put at the start, starts to change everything. To begin a sentence,
begin with you. You.
Kind of makes you wonder
how big you can become when you
comes first. Every you at the center of what we do. Blue Shield of California.
Kings fans, be sure to sign up for the LA Kings VIP e-newsletter. By signing up, you'll receive exclusive pre-sale access to playoff tickets, special offers, inside scoop, and more. For all the details and information, visit lakings.com/e-news. And go Kings!
This is LA Kings game night. Make your voice heard. Call 877-KINGS-20. Back to the action on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here once again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA. Game four of the first round matchup between the LA Kings and Edmonton Oilers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. 877-KINGS-20 is the number, 877-KINGS-20. I want to know who you think has more pressure on them tonight. We talked about the news. We talked about the last game. Now let's talk about the lineup and the rosters. Yesterday, Kevin Fiala joined the Kings that did not play in Game 3 on the ice for practice. He was wearing a red non-contact jersey. Todd McClellan said after that skate that if everything went well, he would join them this morning at morning skate. He did join the team this morning for morning skate. He was wearing a red non-contact jersey, and Todd McClellan was asked if the team gets a boost from seeing number 22 out there skating with them at morning skate.
You only see him on the ice. Like, we see him back in here every day. So his lift is felt daily in the trainer's room, the weight room, the lunch room, just hanging with the guys. So he's been around a lot more than what you see on the ice. But the simple fact that he has the equipment on, too, certainly helps.
It is the playoffs, so information is at a premium, and the coaching staffs will not tell you exactly what they mean. But this morning, Tom McClellan was asked directly if there was any opportunity or if there was any chance that Kevin Fiala would appear in the lineup tonight because he was skating in a red jersey at morning skate this morning. He didn't say no. He also commented on Blake Lizotte, who also skated in a red no-contact jersey this morning.
I got to see what the training staff says here after the morning skate, but he's getting closer to playing.
Lizotte skating?
Yep.
But he's not.
He won't play tonight, no. I don't know what our lineup is going to be yet.
So there you have it. He denied that Blake Lizotte would play tonight. Blake Lizotte will not play tonight. But when given an opportunity to say the same thing about Kevin Fiala, he opted not to say that. So unclear whether or not Kevin Fiala will be in the lineup tonight. Not likely, but not ruled out completely. Usually when watching a morning skate, you can get a bit of a sense of what the lineup will be, but this morning it was a bit more difficult. We know that Alex LaFerriere will not play. We know that Sean Walker will play. We know that Phoenix Copley will not play, meaning Jonas Korpisalo is once again the starter. After that, we don't know, and you heard Todd McClellan there say he doesn't know who will be in the lineup on that fourth line tonight. Alex Iafallo, though, talked about the importance of Jonas Korpisalo to this playoff series.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job for us. Corpy's playing great. He's making huge saves, in the power play, everything. He's done great for us, and that gives us energy, going forward, especially in the D zone. We're able to, he's able to save those, and we're able to break them out and move forward.
Everybody has nice things to say about Jonas Korpisalo these days, least of all Mikey Anderson.
He's been huge. When we've needed saves, he's given it to us very timely. Obviously, they got some very, very high talented players, so they're going to get some chances, as the series and games go on here still. So we need him to keep doing what he's doing. He's given us that extra layer of comfort that we've needed.
Excuse me, I should have said not the least of which is Mikey Anderson, with praise for his starting goaltender. Captain Anže Kopitar also weighed in on the play of the Finnish netminder.
His play gets overlooked. I think he's very, very solid. Obviously, a really good goaltender, and he gives us a chance every night. I mean, even with the starts and some of the lapses in the game that we have, honestly, in all three games, he was there and he made the save that he needed to save to keep us in the game and for us to find it again. And he's been doing a phenomenal job for us.
There you have it, Jonas Korpisalo getting tons of praise from teammates and coaches alike. Around the rest of the NHL, Dallas currently up 1-0 over the Minnesota Wild. That series 2-1 in favor of Minnesota. The Carolina Hurricanes defeated the New York Islanders earlier today. They lead their series 3-1. The Boston Bruins defeated the Florida Panthers earlier today by a score of 6-2. They lead that series 3-1. Hurricanes over the Islanders 5-2. Bruins over the Panthers 6-2. And in the other four series not underway today, Colorado has a 2-1 lead over the Seattle Kraken. The Vegas Golden Knights have a 2-1 lead over the Winnipeg Jets. The New York Rangers have a 2-1 lead over the New Jersey Devils. And the Toronto Maple Leafs have a 2-1 lead over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Not many series are in danger of being out of control. The Carolina Hurricanes with the biggest lead currently. Excuse me, that's not true. Boston also with a 3-1 lead over the Florida Panthers. Boston and Carolina the closest, no surprise there, to moving on to the second round. Dallas and Minnesota underway now at the end of the second with a 1-0 lead in favor of the Stars. And, of course, the Oilers and Kings play game 4 tonight in just over, let's call it, 40 minutes. Drew Doughty was interviewed following Game 3 and talked about the difference between the perception nationally and internationally of the Oilers and the Kings.
I mean, hey, everyone's talking about high-flying Oilers, this and that, but I think we deserve some credit. We haven't played our best game, best hockey yet. Tonight we played better, but, as good as they are, we have a lot of confidence in our team, and we're one of the best defensive hockey teams in the league, in my opinion, and the matchup is a good matchup for us and good matchup for them. So it's hard-fought, but our guys in our locker room deserve some credit.
Drew Doughty sticking up for his L.A. Kings, talking to the Canadian media there. He also talked about the giddiness and excitement he felt playing a home playoff game for the first time in a few years.
It meant a lot. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to just help our team win, just like every other guy in that room. And I'm super excited to play here in front of our home fans. Crypto, our fans were buzzing tonight. I had chills going out there at the start of the game, and I haven't had that feeling in a long time. And I live for those feelings. So thank you to the fans, and I'm glad we got them a win.
That was Drew Doughty talking to the Canadian media about playing at home, talking about the strength of the defensive game of the LA Kings and the fact that the matchup just as difficult for the Oilers as it is for the Kings, and perhaps the national media would do well to remember that this LA Kings team was only a few points behind the Edmonton Oilers. A player who did not participate in the series last year between these two teams, Victor Arvidsson. Now, when Victor Arvidsson was brought in to the LA Kings in a trade with the Nashville Predators, he was lauded for his goal-scoring ability. his shoot first mentality. But I quickly began to notice that he had an unbelievable knack for passing. And if you follow me on Twitter or listen to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings, you know that I believe that he is one of the best playmakers on the team. We're seeing a different element to his game now in the playoffs. Not that he is not continuing to make excellent plays. He is. But just a tenacity, a fierceness that maybe wasn't present night in and night out during the regular season.
Playoffs, it's about competing and wanting it more than the other players on the ice. And that's where I think I excel, and I try to be better than everyone else. And I think that's my biggest ability to change my game.
In the playoffs, it's about competing and wanting to win. That is about as close to coming to saying will beats skill as I have ever heard an NHL player say. And I loved hearing him say it in the media availability when he said it. The NHL playoffs are not about who has the most skill. They are about who goes out there and executes, who comes together as a team, who has the most will. Victor Arvidsson talked about the impact he has as a smaller player with a bigger game.
I know. I think I've always been like I'm a smaller guy, and I've been showing my leadership on the ice and in the play. And I think it's been like that for a lot of years. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to go in there. I think Lisso is doing the same thing. He goes in every battle. He's not shy away from contact. So I think that's how you got to play in the playoffs.
That is how you have to play in the playoffs, and the Kings certainly have the experience of playing that way through the regular season. Victor Arvidsson, a smaller player, he referenced Blake Lizotte there, two guys who play way bigger than their frames and have an outsized impact on the game based on what the eyeball test might tell you looking at their height and their weight. But Victor Arvidsson having an incredible series for the LA Kings in these playoffs and proving he was worth every pick they traded for him. Now, Todd McLellan talked about the importance that the first period had on Game 3. Team got out to a much better first period than they did in Games 1 and 2, and the crowd helped them do that.
Well, we were better in the first, and fortunately for us, we were able to kill off a penalty minute in. And that, I think, gave us a little bit of confidence, a little bit of energy, and then our fans. They were there to begin with. It got quiet for a little bit, but once we killed that penalty, the fans were engaged, and you could feel a little boost of energy and belief again, and they played from there.
After that first period, the Kings went on to win Game 3. We're looking for another kind of game like that here in Game 4. The crowd should be incredible. The crowd was great in Game 3. I wrote down notes as the game was going on in order to use them for a post-game podcast, which, again, you can find at lakings.com/podcast. And I must have written three or four times how great the crowd was. Very loud, very engaged, and a number of players commented on how helpful it was. After the game, or maybe it was the day after, sorry, I'd gotten a little lost in when who said what, but Todd McLellan talked about the fact that his team has not played their best hockey in these first three games. They do have a 2-1 lead in the series. Kings fans should all be thrilled about that. I'm certainly thrilled about that. But he pulled no punches and talked about the importance of being honest about it, the fact that the Kings have not played their best hockey so far.
We have better hockey in us. You know, we're up in the series 2-1, but I think there's still some left in us that hasn't come out yet. And if we're going to win another game, which will lead to bigger and better things if we can keep it going, we're going to have to get to another level. We are. It's as simple as that. And I don't think there's any benefit in hiding behind it or not admitting it. Throw it out in the open here to the players and get them to understand it. Challenge them to get there.
Gotta love hearing that from a coach. I agree with him completely. And the players, it turns out, also agreed with their head coach.
For sure we're going to another level. We've shown that level during the year, and we know as a team that we got a little more for sure. But it was better last game. We started right off the bat, but we definitely have another level.
That was Phil Deneau, who echoed the sentiment of Todd McClellan, that the team has another level. And as Todd McClellan said, if they're going to win another game in this series, they're going to have to produce that level. They got incredibly lucky to steal game one against the Oilers. I won't say they got lucky to steal the game in game three, but after getting out to a competitive start in the first period, there were long stretches in periods two and three where the Oilers controlled the play, to use the word that Jim Fox used on our game four preview at lakings.com/podcast. Mikey Anderson also talked about another level.
Yeah, I thought it was better. I thought we were harder in battles. Obviously committed to what we wanted to do a little bit more. I think we got obviously a better result than we got in game two, but I think a positive is we've been in all the games, even the one we lost, but same time, so far special teams have been a factor, so I'm sure both sides are going to be talking about it, trying to take less penalties, keep the other power play off the ice, and try and win it 5-on-5.
Oilers power play clicking at 50% so far in this series. The Kings cannot continue to let them score at that rate on the power play. Obviously a very difficult power play to stop. I think the best power play during the regular season in many, many years, if not many, many decades, if not all time, frankly. Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, two dangerous, dangerous players. But Todd McClellan talked about the fact that his own players are echoing his sentiments about needing to up their game, and that encouraged the head coach.
Yeah, I think when your team has the ability to self-evaluate and honestly do that, it's a lot stronger than us going in and trying to convince them. But we're all on the same page. We know we have to be better in a lot of facets of the game. And we think the tools are in that room and that we've done it before, so that we have a chance to take it up a level. But good recognition by the group that there's areas we have to be better in.
Mikey Anderson spoke a moment ago about the need to control the special teams battle. He also talked about the increasing physicality in the series.
I mean, this time of year it gets physical. You know, we've created a pretty good rivalry with them, so obviously the games have been hard fought and heavy, but I think, I mean, they've been the same kind of all three. I think I don't think it's necessarily changed a whole lot. It's been high pretty much right from the start, and you know, we intend that it's probably going to stay that way.
Mikey Anderson and Drew Doughty combined to be one of the more effective pairs in the National Hockey League, and no surprise, they draw a difficult assignment in the playoffs, trying to stop the top players of the Edmonton Oilers, whether it's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Leon Draisaitl, or Connor McDavid. Mikey Anderson talked about how he and Drew Doughty can combine to stop Connor McDavid.
Sorry, I mean, I think Corpy's been a big part of that. Obviously, he's had some chances that Corpy shut down. I mean, he's the best player in the world for a reason. So it's a tough task to keep him off the score sheet 5-on-5. Something that you got to, you know, try and play hard on him, try and take his time and space away, give him as little looks as you can. And obviously, power play is, you know, one area that you got to try and find a way. But they got five different threats on the unit, so it's trying to figure out how to shut them down. But obviously, if we want to keep going and winning games, we got to, you know, keep that up and figure out how to slow down their power play.
There you have it. That was Mikey Anderson. And while we were talking during this segment, the Dallas Stars scored again. Tyler Seguin scored at the Stars now with a 2-0 lead over the Minnesota Wild with just over 15 minutes left in the third period of that game. We're going to take a break right now in advance of warm-ups here at Crypto.com Arena. When we come back, it'll be time for Duly Noted with Zach Dooley. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
New vehicles are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit Toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
You. Y-O-U. Three little letters to make a very small word.
That means so many things, because no you is ever one single thing.
You.
If put at the start,
starts to change everything.
To begin a sentence,
begin with you. You.
Kind of makes you wonder
how big you can become
when you
comes first. Every you at the center of what we do. Blue Shield of California.
The LA Kings play here.
Score! Arvidsson!
Bally Sports West.
Patrick Gold!
And now, you have more wings to watch than ever with your service provider.
To win it! Yes!
Or with the all-new Bally Sports Plus, available on the Bally Sports app.
Oh, what a setup!
Bally Sports West, your home for LA Kings hockey.
Back to more of LA Kings Game Night. Call 877-KINGS-20. Back to the action on the LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here once again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA. It is game four of the first round matchup between the Edmonton Oilers and your LA Kings here at Crypto.com Arena. Warm-ups will soon be underway, and that means it's time for Duly Noted.
Call Duly!
Duly!
Let's call Duly!
Duly loves a good beer!
Duly!
Duly in the house!
Right?
Duly's in the house!
Yeah, Duly Noted.
Time for warm-ups. That means it's time for Duly Noted. Joining me now, Zach Duly. How are you doing today, Zach?
Jesse, I am doing really well. Buzzing off that episode we recorded to preview this game earlier today with Jim Fox, and excited to get rolling for Game 4.
If you have not yet listened to that episode, Game 4 preview, it's a little late, but it's so good, I'd say listen to it tomorrow anyway, along with the Game 4 recap. You can find all those
See
episodes.
See how right or wrong
That's
we were.
Right.
You it's can still good.
All those episodes at lakings.com/podcast. Zach, we're just coming from talking to Phil Deneau, Mikey Anderson, Sean Dersey, and Todd McClellan after morning skate. Kevin Fiala and Blake Lizotte both skated in red non-contact jerseys this morning. Todd McClellan ruled out Blake Lizotte.
Mm-hmm.
He did not rule out Kevin Fiala. I personally would be surprised if he's in tonight, but I wouldn't be completely like jaw on the floor stunned.
This wouldn't be like Willis Reed in that NBA game where Kevin hobbles out.
Yeah. And plays. Neither one of us were alive for that one.
Plays that. I've seen that. The Willis Reed documentary when I lived in New York. A billion times. It was always on. But yeah, I wouldn't be jaw on the floor surprised. Not expecting it. But it's good that he's at a stage where he wasn't just directly ruled out, because even if they know he's not going, it means he's close, right? He's getting closer. He's now been with the group for 2 days in a row. That's a positive, whether he's playing tonight or not. It's a good step back. Two more days till Game 5 and a long break before Game 6. So if he's that close now and you see that Game 6 is a week away, there's 3 games in between or in that stretch. You have to be feeling more confident today than you were 2 days ago that he might play in this series.
If this were the regular season, I would say no chance he plays tonight. But it is the playoffs. We've heard that these timelines are accelerated. We had not heard anything about him for quite a while. Then yesterday he appears in practice in a red non-contact jersey with the players who didn't play in Game 3. It was a small group. He was out there. He looked fine. Then Todd McClellan said yesterday, if everything goes well with the medical staff, presumably, and the training staff, he would skate this morning.
Yep.
He did. Looked fine. And then, like I said, when given an opportunity to rule it out, Todd McClellan did not. So we'll have to see. I mean, by the time people are listening to this, we should have a much better idea whether or not to expect number 22 in the lineup tonight or perhaps later in the series.
I think we will for sure. It's just a good sign that we're even having the conversation.
Yeah.
Because before Game 3, there was no conversation. He wasn't playing. It was simple as that. Now we're talking about it. Now it's a possibility. whether we're expecting him or not, like you, I don't think that I am, but he's out there. He's with the full group. And I think that's a really good sign for his potential availability either tonight or maybe five or maybe six or maybe down the road. So he's progressing, which is the most important thing. And without him, the Kings are up 2-1. So they've done their job in that moment, and they're confident that they can win with or without him in the lineup.
I do want to talk about the record without him in the lineup, but before we do that, I do just want to remember back.
Sounded like you were about to cut to like an ad read. But before we do that, let me tell you about...
Yeah. Kind bars. Last season, Victor Arvidsson disappeared, the day before the playoffs? He left practice ice. We were told it was a personal issue and that he could return at any time. We found out later that he required back surgery and was never going to return. Mm-hmm. So to see not only Kevin Fiala but also Blake Lizotte on the ice skating, and Kevin Fiala looked fine, looked very good to me. That is...
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, well, it's that mustache. But as for the record without him in the lineup, we talked to Jim Fox yesterday for our Game 4 preview, and we were talking about potential lineup changes, and Jim mentioned that one of the strengths, I think both of you did actually, that one of the strengths of this team is the sum of the parts, right? It being the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, and how they accomplish things as a unit. So while Kevin Fiala has been a part of that during the regular season, there is a tiny part of my brain that thinks, oh, do you disrupt the flow of what has been happening by, because he is not an inconsequential piece, right?
Right?
Adding him to the lineup will have an impact.
I think you do it the same way that you did it with Gabe Vilardi.
Yeah.
Like he's at a level where he has to go in when he's ready. The thing with Kevin is he, in my opinion, makes all four lines better,
mm-hmm.
which maybe no one else in the team does to the level that he does. Because usually if you're talking about getting your second leading scorer back from injury, you are talking about a first line player. Maybe it's a second line player, but it's certainly not a guy who might be on the third line. And that's why Fiala is so important to this team, because he makes a line independent of his line mates dangerous. If he's on the third line, he makes that line one that other teams have to think about and game plan for, because he's a 70 to 80 point player playing on the third line. And that makes potentially matchups easier for Kopitar's line or Deneau's line. And if they're not, it means better matchups for Fiala's line. And it also would shuffle someone else down who is a clear top nine player to the fourth line, which makes that line better. So I think that his impact on the lineup, because of where he plays and how unique he is, just makes this team so much deeper and so much harder to game plan for.
Even if Kevin Fiala is not back, Todd McClellan was still noncommittal on potential changes to the lineup regarding the bottom six. It seems pretty clear that the top six won't change, the defense won't change, and Korpisalo will start in net. But based on what we saw at practice, it was not immediately clear who would be playing in the bottom six. And when asked directly about it, Todd McClellan stated that he did not know what the lineup would be tonight.
Yeah, and you know, it's the fact that more guys than roster spots went off the ice early is something that they did in Edmonton for sure. I didn't pick up on it for Game 3, but I also wasn't looking for it. But in Edmonton, usually it was 13 forwards that went off the ice with the regulars to kind of keep options open for that time. I believe him to an extent. Like, when you have guys who are hurt, you obviously have to account for them. And then the Kings have had situations in the bottom six where they haven't always been happy with the performance of how those lines have gone. So, you know, they might want to think about it. They might want to see exactly what was going on with guys after the skate, see how guys look out there, see how guys are feeling before they make the decision on those ingredients going into the game. So you have to assume more than 12 forwards will take the pregame warm-up at the very least, and we'll see what it looks like. But probably the first time this series we've gotten that answer, right? We haven't had the, don't know, not telling lineup approach yet.
Jonas Korpisalo is, I mean, they don't give out MVPs for series, but so far through three games, Jonas Korpisalo has been the Kings MVP.
They certainly don't give him out for three games of a series.
No.
But you are right.
But going into Game 4 tonight, we got conflicting messages from one player and other players and the coach about whether or not momentum exists. If momentum does exist, you want it to exist in the strong play of your goaltender.
That's a good way to put it. I think that's been the biggest constant for the Kings. is that Corpusalo has kept them in all three games. There have been moments in each of the games where the Kings could have been down by one or two or three more than they were, if not for his high level of play. That for sure has been a carryover from games 1 to 2 to 3. I think I tend to agree with the masses who said that there isn't game-to-game momentum. And I feel like the ending of game 1 to the start of game 2 was a good indicator of that. The Kings finished game 1 in the highest of highs and probably started game 2 close to the lowest of lows. So I probably lean that way in terms of the momentum part. But Corpusalo's key timely saves and his volume of saves has been absolutely what the Kings have needed through three games.
I don't believe that momentum of play carries over because obviously, you know, the example you gave is a perfect example. But we did hear in a question to Phil Deneau the thought that Edmonton has become increasingly fixated on how many penalties are called for, you know, in favor of the Kings and in favor of Edmonton.
Yep.
It's not momentum, but you can see trends developing. You can see off-ice storylines that maybe are exaggerated in the media because we like to talk about stuff. But there certainly are things that occur more frequently or less frequently. You know, there, like, for example, if I don't know that it happened as a result of the earlier game, but if Leon Draisaitl taking that unsportsmanlike penalty in game 3 is in any way related to what happened earlier in the season between he and Drew Doughty, that is something that carried over. It's not momentum, but it is a tendril back to an earlier time.
What happened?
When
I don't even remember.
Draisaitl tried to check Doughty in the corner. Doughty moved out of the way. He was laughing at Draisaitl. Oh. There was a turnover. Draisaitl then scored. Then when Drew was on the bench, he and Leon Draisaitl were...
Oh, I didn't even remember that.
...staring each other down and laughing at each other. And it was, you know, not a huge deal, but it's the sort of thing that then when you see Draisaitl whack him on the back of the leg and take an unsportsmanlike penalty after scoring, I just think like, oh, I wonder if
I've seen Leon Draisaitl do that to several Kings players in those moments. Mm-hmm. Saw it with Sean Durzi last year, right? Draisaitl scored on his way to the bench, hacked the stick out of Durzi's hands on his way to the line. So to me, I think it's the surprise of seeing these things called because it doesn't usually get called, and he's been doing this for a while, just not...
Even if it's not related to the Doughty incident, then the fact that he does those things repeatedly, that in itself is its own tendril.
It's certainly a storyline that Edmonton is pushing, right? I think we've heard their coach talk about it 3 or 4 times now, and it's probably good coaching. Like, mm-hmm. you understand why they're doing it. It's all game, right? It's not anything more than that. You're seeing it in the Minnesota-Dallas series on a higher level where it's both coaches engaging in those back-and-forth barbs to try and get that edge if they believe there is one. For their team. So it's a lot of gamesmanship for sure on that side. And if you're a team that has the best power play in NHL history and has 4 power play goals from 3 games, so they're scoring on the power play, you're going to do anything you can to get more power plays for your team because they want to be on the power play. They're elite in that area.
I believe they're 50% right now for the series.
Yeah. And then, you know, the difference is that last year, I think the special teams goals were 9-2 Oilers, and this year they're 4-4.
Yeah.
And that to me has been one of the biggest differences in the series.
And it's been pointed out by a number of people that power play goals are very similar to saves in that the percentage is less important than the timeliness of the impact, right? And so the
especially
Kings,
now, right?
Yeah. The Kings' power play goals have come at crucial moments. The were both McDavid goals power play goals?
They were.
Yeah. So, okay, he scores 2 power play goals in one game, and, you know, their percentage is great, but not as important as the Kings' power play, which is a smaller percentage. Anyway.
2 overtime game winners, a late-to-game tying goal, and the other goal was a 4-on-4 goal early in the third that got, you know, the team back in the game.
Quentin Byfield hit the post the other night. If you've listened to our preview podcast, you know all of the nice things we said about Quentin Byfield. Todd McClellan talked to him about him this morning. I have had feelings like this about Quentin Byfield in the past where I felt like he was on the cusp of sort of graduating up to a new level of play. Still not prepared to say that he's going to graduate into, you know, bona fide superstar status, but certainly in the first 3 games of the series, it feels like we saw a solid performance, a regression, an adaptation to what he learned, and then as a result of that adaptation, improved play. I'm very curious to see what we see from him tonight.
Yeah, for sure. He's just been so noticeably good in this series. Like, he's doing the things he was in the regular season, but I feel like he's adding to that and he's building on it. And that's kind of what you were talking about. And it's been really impressive to see. He hit the post, so he didn't score. He has no goals from three games, but he does have 2 points. And he is using his toolkit extremely well. His combination of size and speed is not matched by very many. And I feel like he's really using it to his advantage here so far in this series. He's been really impressive and really noticeable, and he makes that line better. I don't think there's any disputing it at this point. Like, that line is better with him on it, and he's been effective in all three zones.
The one line that I would like to see, well, I don't even want to say that because Arvidsson had that incredible pass to Phil Deneau and then the incredible pass. I was going to say the second line I would like to see stronger play from. I guess I've seen strong play from each of them individually, but I've yet to see them click the way we saw them in that final game of the season against the Ducks. Now, obviously, the Ducks are a less terrifying opponent than the Edmonton Oilers. I would still like to see the Nice line regain some of the interplayer chemistry that we saw last season, especially against the Oilers in some of those games.
See, I think that they are – I actually think that line's been very good.
Mm.
They're starting – the other day I looked at it, like 20% of their shifts in the O zone and 80% in the D zone. So they're getting – every time they're starting 200 feet from the net, they're also playing against the McDavid line pretty much every time. And they're not – you're right, having that controlled – ozone
that's what I'd like
experience
to see,
that we saw against the Ducks, but maybe that's not going to happen in this series. Maybe that they have other responsibilities, right? They have to shut down, but they've still managed to get out of their own end. They managed to get in the offensive zone, and they managed to go to work from time to time. I thought the goal Deneau scored in Edmonton was a good, nice line goal. Moore made the pass. Deneau had the finish. So production-wise, you're spot on, right? The production has actually been quite good, but not as a line. They've produced kind of independently, but I feel like they're playing the hand they've been dealt almost as effectively as they can. And I've liked the kind of spunk and tenacity that they've played with, even if that long cycling game we love to see from them hasn't quite been there.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see. And Phil Deneau talked about faceoffs earlier today, and it's been a topic of conversation, mainly because in the regular season, the Kings were third in the league at faceoff percentage at 53.3. Mm-hmm. They're sub 50.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, Edmonton, meanwhile, in the regular season was at 50%
yeah.
and is at like 55 in the playoffs. So would like to see that turnaround, would like to see that control. Obviously, we'd like to see a win.
We would.
Zach, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Duly noted.
That was Duly Noted with Zach Dooley. We're going to take a break. When we come back, lineups for tonight's game and some final thoughts from Todd McLellan, Trevor Moore, and Mikey Anderson. Stick around, Kings fans. We'll be right back.
New vehicles are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit Toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. But it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHope. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673. Or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHope, official partner of the LA Kings.
The LA Kings play here.
Score! Arvidsson!
Bally Sports West.
Patrick Gould!
And now, you have more wings to watch than ever. With your service provider.
To win it! Yes! Score!
Or with the all-new Bally Sports Plus, available on the Bally Sports app.
Oh, what a setup!
Bally Sports West. Your home for LA Kings hockey.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
Kings fans, be sure to sign up for the LA Kings VIP e-newsletter. By signing up, you'll receive exclusive pre-sale access to playoff tickets, special offers, inside scoop, and more. For all the details and information, visit lakings.com/e-news. And go Kings!
We return to LA Kings Game Night, a pregame look at the Kings on your LA Kings iHeart Audio Network.
Welcome back, Kings fans. Jesse Cohen here once again inside the Nick Nixon Broadcast Center in downtown LA. The Edmonton Oilers and LA Kings are just finishing up warm-ups here at Crypto.com Arena in advance of Game 4 of their first-round matchup in the 2023 Stanley Cup playoffs. Based on line rushes during warm-ups, it looks like Kevin Fiala will be rejoining the lineup tonight. Gabriel Vilardi joined earlier in the series. Now he is joined by Kevin Fiala on that third line. It looks like Quentin Byfield, Anže Kopitar, and Adrian Kempe will skate on the top line. Trevor Moore, Phil Deneau, and Victor Arvidsson will once again form the second line. Again, Kevin Fiala joining Gabriel Vilardi and Alex Iafallo on the third line, which means Carl Grundstrom, Rasmus Kupari, and Jarrett Anderson Dolan will make up your fourth line. On defense, no changes. Mikey Anderson and Drew Doughty, Vladislav Gavrikov and Matt Roy. Alex Edler and Sean Durzi. And in net, Jonas Korpisalo, who has replaced Brendan Lemieux as the player who prefers to be off the ice last at warmups. He's currently facing center ice with his back to the boards just in front of the Kings bench, and he will wait there until the remaining five or six players out for warmups leave the ice, at which point he will follow them off. That's just a little detail that I have found fascinating watching him since he arrived here. Now, Connor McDavid is still a member of the Edmonton Oilers, and Mikey Anderson talked about how it takes a five-man unit to stop the best player in the league.
Yeah, I think it takes everyone. Obviously, they can help by, we're in the ozone, we're playing down low. Obviously, they got to defend. That helps us, makes our job a little easier. But I think especially our top six, when they're matched with guys like that, they have good track, good sort outs coming back into our end. They're good down low like we are, so it makes it easier for us, and you kind of defend as a group of five rather than just a single guy.
Takes a full unit to take down a great player. It takes a full team to take down a tough opponent, and Trevor Moore talked about the resilience this Kings team has shown all year long.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of confidence no matter what. The guy next to me and Dewey are just incredible leaders, and they keep us on the right track all the time. No matter what the score is, we're just going to keep chugging along and playing our game.
That was Trevor Moore, who scored the game-winning goal here at Crypto.com Arena in Game 3 on Friday night to give the Kings the 2-1 series lead over the Edmonton Oilers. Another series going on today, Dallas versus the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota did score. It is currently 2-1 with just a few minutes left in regulation. In fact, 55 seconds left with Dallas on the power play. The Stars up 2-1 over the Wild. Quentin Byfield has had a strong showing in this year's playoffs. He has more career playoff points than his counterpart out there in Ottawa. Todd McLellan heaps praise on the young forward, Quentin Byfield.
20 years old, and he's having an impact on our team and on the series. There's always the, got to score and got to do this, but he has expanded his game so that if he's not scoring, he's effective. There's so much value in that. We've been stressing that with so many of our other players that you got to have something else. You got to bring something different. Q's got the opportunity to be up there because he's learned that quickly. And, do we want to put some pressure on him to score goals? Of course we do. But if he doesn't, he's he's leaving his mark on the game, and that's more than some other guys are.
There you have it. Quentin Byfield leaving a mark on the game, playing on that top line with Anze Kopitar and Adrian Kempe, just 20 years old, playing a huge role on the ice for that game-winning goal by Trevor Moore at the end of Game 3. Hopefully we see him get a goal here as the Kings win in Game 4. That is what we're all rooting for. Meanwhile, that is going to do it for this playoff edition of LA Kings Game Night. Huge thanks to our in-arena producer Jake Warner and Jeff Cabot at the iHeart Studio in Burbank. LA Kings Game Night will return, assuming that it is necessary, when the Oilers and Kings face off next. But for now, we take our final break. When we return, Hall of Famer Nick Nixon and Darrell Evans have the call as your LA Kings face off against the Edmonton Oilers. This has been LA Kings Game Night. I have been Jesse Cohen. Thanks for listening, Kings fans, and go Kings go.
New vehicles are arriving daily at your Toyota dealer. Powerful new Camrys, adventurous new RAV4s, rugged new Tacomas, even stylish new Corollas. And with great end-of-summer savings, there are incredible deals on many of Toyota's most popular models. So get a special lease or low APR on the Toyota you've always wanted. See your Toyota dealer today or visit Toyota.com. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
You. Y-O-U. Three little letters to make a very small word.
That means so many things, because no you
is ever one single thing.
You.
If put at the start, starts to change everything. To begin a sentence,
begin with you.
You.
Kind of makes you wonder
how big you can become when you
comes first. Every you at the center of what we do. Blue Shield of California.
The LA Kings. Play here.
Score! Arvidsson!
Bally Sports West.
Patrick Gold!
And now, you have more wings to watch than ever. With your service provider.
To win it! Yes!
Or with the all-new Bally Sports Plus, available on the Bally Sports app.
Oh, what a sap!
Bally Sports West. Your home for LA Kings hockey.
Crypto.com is the official crypto platform partner of the LA Kings and the world's fastest growing crypto app. In the app, you can easily buy and sell cryptocurrencies and different coins, collect the world's top NFTs, and get discounts when you pay with crypto. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play. All information is provided for informational purposes only, and this message is not intended as a recommendation of financial or investment advice. Cryptocurrencies are highly volatile and subject to significant risks and may not be suitable for you. Not available in all jurisdictions.
Get the official NHL app to watch, read, and listen to all the deets.
All I can say is absolutely wow.
All the sauce, all the saves.
Stop from Vasilevsky.
All the hits, all the snipes, all the sellies.
He scores! Unbelievable!
All the hockey. If it's hockey, it's here. Listen to every NHL game for free now with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Download the official NHL app now.